From Paging America, episode #52 Deep Dive Misinterpreting Vaccine Data Equals More Clicks, Fewer Jabs. Dr. Ruby Liz Bolivar, an emergency medicine resident at South Texas Health System in McAllen, Texas, and a Venezuelan citizen, was detained by DHS on her way to an asylum interview. The American College of Emergency Physicians, ACEP, and Emergency Medicine Residents Association, EMRAT, are calling for her release. In a statement, the organizations said they were deeply concerned about her detention. Bolivar holds a valid work permit and has lived in the U.S. for a decade, the organizations said. However, she was detained by DHS while traveling with her 5-year-old daughter, who is a U.S. citizen, to a previously scheduled asylum interview. Dr. Bolivar followed our laws, obtained valid work authorization, and dedicated herself to caring for patients in one of the most underserved regions in the country, ACEP President L. Anthony Cirillo, MD, said in the statement. Detaining physicians who are here legally and serving communities in need of vital emergency care is not targeted enforcement. More than 20 medical organizations did the same earlier this month, noting that the policy is forcing physicians to abandon residency programs and leaving already strained communities without access to care. Following the lopsided loss of the anti-abortion Supreme Court candidate in Wisconsin E. earlier this month, all eyes are on Georgia, where abortion rights are playing a central role in the Supreme Court race there as well. It is a threat to the health of the American people, and it must stop. In late February, AMA President John White, MD, sent a letter to the Secretaries of State and Homeland Security urging an exemption from the policy for physicians. Two anti-abortion incumbents are being challenged by liberal candidates who support abortion rights. From reporting by News from the States, this week, three major organizations announced support for candidates in this year's contested races. Incumbent Justice Charlie Bethel is being challenged by Miracle Rankin, a personal injury attorney and former president of the Georgia Association of Black Women Attorneys, and former Democratic State Sen. Jen Jordan is challenging incumbent Justice Sarah Warren. On Wednesday, Reproductive Freedom for All, a nonprofit organization that opposes abortion restrictions, announced its endorsement of Jordan and Rankin. On Thursday, Planned Parenthood Votes pledged to pour $750,000 into an ad campaign supporting the two candidates and casting the incumbent justices as politicians in robes. Bethel and Warren were among the six justices who issued a ruling to reinstate Georgia's 6-week abortion ban in 2024. KFF reports that a rural dialysis unit there is closing despite the state receiving over $200 million from the $50 billion Rural Health Transformation Program last summer following the passage of the GOP's Big Beautiful Bill and Millionaire Tax Giveaway. For the past 2 years, 3 days a week, Mark Pieper has made an early morning commute to get dialysis at the nearest hospital. His appointment in February was one of his last dialysis sessions there before the hospital shuttered the service at the end of March. All of the current members of the 9-member state Supreme Court are conservatives or conservative-leaning. If you need proof that the Republicans' rural hospital bailout fund isn't helping save rural hospitals, just take a look at Nebraska. He needs dialysis to survive after cancer treatment damaged his kidneys. The closure is just one example of the long decline of healthcare services in rural America, where people have higher rates of many chronic conditions but less access to care than elsewhere. Teehee closure was annual, and said as Nebraska officials celebrated the $219 million the state will receive in first-year funding from the Rural Health Transformation Program. I guess I'll just bloat up and die in a month. Pieper remembered thinking when he learned the center was closing, eliminating the only option near his home. But the 5-year program is aimed at exploring new, creative ways to improve rural health, not to help existing services stay afloat. The Washington Post is reporting that the CDC has decided not to publish a new report that shows COVID-19 shots helped keep people from being hospitalized. A report showing the efficacy of the COVID-19 vaccine that was previously delayed by the head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has been blocked from being published in the agency's flagship scientific journal, according to three people familiar with the decision who spoke on the condition of anonymity for fear of retaliation. States can use only up to 15% of their funding to pay providers for patient care. The report showed that the vaccine reduced emergency department visits and hospitalizations among healthy adults by about half this past winter. The move, which has not been previously reported, has raised concerns among current and former officials that information about the vaccine's benefits is being downplayed because they conflict with the views of Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has been an outspoken critic of the shots. The report had been scheduled for publication March 19 in the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. An HHS spokesperson said that CDC head Jay Bhattacharya had problems with the observational method used in the study to calculate vaccine effectiveness. Last August, RFKJR canceled a $500 million in funding for mRNA vaccines used to combat a wide array of diseases. In his press release, Kennedy said, "We reviewed the science, listened to the experts, and acted terminating 22 mRNA vaccine development investments." In response, infectious disease physician Dr. Jake Scott wrote in an op-ed in Stat, "When Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. terminated $500 million in federal funding for mRNA vaccine research last week, claiming he had reviewed the science, his press release linked to a 181-page document as justification. "I reviewed Kennedy's evidence. It doesn't support ending mRNA vaccine development. It makes the case for expanding it. The document isn't a government analysis or systematic review. It's a bibliography assembled by outside authors that, according to its own title page, originated with contributions to Toxic Shot, Facing the Dangers of the COVID Vaccines with a Foreword by Sen." The implications of this came into clear view this week when a new study generated headlines like, "After a year of turmoil, cancer researchers see promising signs for mRNA vaccines. Pancreatic cancer mRNA vaccine shows lasting results in an early trial." In addition, Pfizer researchers announced that an experimental six-strand Lyme vaccine had demonstrated more than 70% efficacy in preventing Lyme disease in people aged 5 years and older. Ron Johnson Arwisk, the lead compiler, is a dentist, not an immunologist, virologist, or vaccine expert. Then, in February, Kennedy's FDA rejected Moderna's application for its mRNA-based flu vaccine. RFKJR has 7 congressional hearings over 7 days, concluding this week. At his first hearing before the House Appropriations Committee last week, Kennedy didn't mention vaccines in his opening statement, apparently complying with a recently revealed internal White House memo directing staff to avoid the topic. He definitely seems to have changed his messaging about vaccines. In a sharp break with his past rhetoric, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. offered a qualified embrace of the measles vaccine on Thursday, as President Trump named a new director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention whose views on vaccination are more conventional than Mr. Kennedy's. In back-to-back hearings on Capitol Hill, Mr. Kennedy testified that the measles vaccine is safe and effective for most people and agreed it was safer than getting measles. His turnabout didn't stop him from getting questions.